This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization engaging the public on critical quality of life issues so we make informed choices for our community's future. Visit us on the web at sevilletomorrow.org.
We're going to start in just a minute.
Members of the Downtown Business Association of Charlottesville had the chance on Tuesday to find out what the three Democrats running for city council think about issues related to the city's pedestrian mall. Democratic challengers Amy Laufer and Heather Hill appeared with incumbent Bob Benwick at the Violet Crown to answer questions about parking, how to pay to maintain the mall, and other issues related to downtown. The moderator of the forum is Joan Fenton, chair of the Downtown Business Association of Charlottesville.
So we're doing a forum sponsored by the Downtown Business Association where we felt that there's a lot of the issues that we as a community often address with city council that the downtown mall and the downtown business, I think we all believe is the heart and soul of Charlottesville, or at least one of them, and that we often bring up issues that city needs to address because they're our landlord, they are the people that control the mall, they provide the funding for a lot of things that go on here, like cleanup, like restoration and such, and that this was really a good opportunity for us to hear from the candidates about how they think about the downtown mall, how they think about the issues that concern us, and a good chance for us to be able to ask them questions about issues that are concerned to everybody. And I'm asking that the focus tonight really be on the downtown mall, the business community, the things that are concerns, whether they're brand new, things that have come up over the years. I sent them a list of some of the issues that have been addressed repeatedly over the years or recently to give them an idea of some of the things we were concerned about. What we're going to do is we're going to give each person a chance to talk. I did not prepare questions. I felt like you all wanted to ask questions, and I may interject at some point and ask a follow-up or do something with that, but I'd much rather let the audience have a chance to ask what their concerns are, to let us know what they are, and to get the opinion from these three folks, and then go back in the reverse order, let them close at the end. We listed this as ending at 7:30. We can keep the theater a little bit longer if there's interest. Otherwise, we'll end. And first of all, big thanks to the Violet Crown for giving us the space. Thank you for all for coming. And as I hope most of you know, there is a primary. There are two seats up for city council. There are three candidates for the Democratic nominee. These are the three folks that have put their hat in the ring, chosen to run. And if you followed city politics, you know how important the city council is to the downtown community. So we have Bob Benwick, who's our current city councilor. We have Heather Hill, who is chair of the North Downtown Association. Amy Laufer, who's on the school board. And I'm going to let them do the introductions instead of me giving you a spiel and then letting them tell you really who they are. So I'm going to pass the mic to Bob, and he's going to start us off.
Well, good evening. This is great. The last time I was down here, I think Robert Crane and Joan was here, either here or across the hallway. And it was about the parking downtown. And the Violet Crown jumped into that situation head first. And that's hopefully what we're going to get into today, is how important the business community is to the social, besides the business, life of the city. To get the bio stuff out of the way, I would prefer that you go to votebob.net or sevillecitizen.com. A quick bio. I've been a business person for about 45 years, construction contractor. Lived with my family in Charlottesville about 40 years. My wife is a graduate of UVA Law School. Both boys went to public school from Bernie Moran up through CHS. So we've been here a long time. We've been here since there was a drive-in theater at the Kroger on Hydraulic Road, or an ice house on South Street. So the things that I have done, not just on council, but before I got on, was to try to promote the downtown mall. And I did that with things called Cash Mob, where we would get a group of people together, shoppers, and we would flood a store, We did it not just on the downtown mall, but we did it at JPA. We did it at the corner. It was a lot of fun. It brought a lot of energy and a lot of promotional activity to the businesses. Another thing that I did was called Charlottesville Sparkles, usually in the springtime. And spring cleaning and Charlottesville Sparkles kind of went together. We had social fraternities join in. We had business owners. We had citizens and shoppers. And once again, that was a great promotion for the downtown mall. And I'm such a big fan of the city market that I also did a little thing for the kids in Friendship Court. And I called it Rick Shaw. And what it was little kids like 6 to 12 years old had an opportunity to carry packages for either the older people or for people who just had bought a ton of stuff. And that's how they made change. The incredible thing about that was, and what I learned was, these little kids, 6 to 12, would show up 9 o'clock in the morning, and none of them had had breakfast. Not one of them had had breakfast. Their fathers never showed up. It was the grandmother that showed up. So that's, I think business and our social community, it really goes hand in hand. And I'm just going to lay out a couple things real quick I hope we get into. Paid parking, consultants, development, and of course the landmark.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you to DBAC for hosting this. So the last, I think we just agreed that it was the last of our 6 forums that we've had before the primary, so hopefully we'll finish strong here. I'm going to introduce myself a little more just because Bob has been on council for 4 years, so a lot of people have gotten to know him, but my name is Heather Hill, and I am the mother of 3 children. My oldest is a first grader at Burnley Moran. My son is 5, and my youngest is 1.5 years. And my husband, John, and I have been in Charlottesville since 2003, with the exception to the 2 years that I have an industrial and systems engineering degree, but I also have a business degree from DeDarden School. So after DeDarden, I did move to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I lived for 2 years. And working in brand management. So during those 2 years, my husband did stay here, but I did leave for those 2 years, and I came back in 2009. As I mentioned, my background is engineering and business, and as mentioned earlier, I am the president of the North Downtown Residents Association. So the issues of the downtown mall are really real to us because the downtown mall falls within our neighborhood boundaries. It runs from the 250 bypass all the way to South Street, and then from just where Evergreen hits Lexington Avenue all the way to the Harris Road, O'Hare Street, just one more over from McIntyre. And so that's where our boundaries are. And so the downtown mall falls within those boundaries. So as residents, this area is also very much in our interest, to the point where I first got involved with the Residents Association because of the tremendous amount of work that board had done at the time to really raise up the issues in terms of, they call it the conditions on the mall, and really challenging our city to really start addressing those head on. And a lot of work followed from that. There's still a lot of things that we have some frustration that still need to be done that came out of those work sessions. This is several years ago now. But I was so impressed with that deliverable that it really is what got me on board to wanting to join with that organization. And since that time, I've been on the board in a number of different capacities. In my professional life, however, I've led the development and implementation of systems across multiple industries. And so that has resulted in some cases 80% operational cost savings as well as 40% increases in efficiencies. You know, this is both at General Mills and IBM where I spent the bulk of my time and where we really looked hard at understanding what is, in that case, our consumer value. And so as I think about my time on council, I want to understand what does our community and the businesses of this city really value as we are making decisions in terms of where we're going to be spending our city's resources. I really think we have opportunities in Charlottesville to really unlock efficiencies and cost savings and be putting those back into the things that we value as a community most. And obviously a downtown mall is a huge part of our economic development in this community, and we certainly need to be focused on the priorities of serving the businesses that reside here and keeping them a diverse set of businesses. I think it's really important that for those of us that come here and want to have it be a destination, that it can't be just all restaurants or it can't just be all retail. It has to be a nice mix of things that allow you to really go to one place and one place only. And I'll be honest, I don't really go to many other shopping areas in this community. This is the place that I prefer to go. Obviously, it's a proximity piece for me, but just I think how it delivers on that experience is so much more meaningful to me than any other places that I have options to shop. little bit more. My children have certainly reinforced my belief that we all are responsible for the world that they are going to be raised in. And I've been involved in organizations such as the Shelter for Help in Emergency through their design house when it was formed, as well as the first 2 years that it was doing. And I also have taken on a personal project, which, as much as it doesn't directly tie to the mall itself, it does speak to connectivity. My neighbor and I are really energized at trying to convert the abandoned rail line that runs from Allied Concrete all the way down to the Amtrak station, because it really provides that last piece of connectivity for a multi-use path that I think will allow so many people who want to travel multimodal from the North End down to our city center. And that will also impact the types of people who can then go the quick couple of blocks that it is to get to the mall. I just think we need more connectivity that doesn't rely us on cars, as we all are going to discuss. Parking is certainly a constraint here, and I think the more that we can do to support other modes of transportation, including our public transportation system, is important. But I'm really running for city council because Charlottesville is where I live, and it's where I plan to live, I say, the rest of my useful life. My children will be raised here. But it's really the people of this community that make it my home, and I've just really gotten so much out of the relationships that I've developed, just going literally door to door or through the conversations I've had with business stakeholders in the community, just to understand their needs. Because to me, I can come into this process with my own set of priorities, but they mean nothing if they're not really representing what this community really desires. And so I've really put my stake in that, and next week my website or later this week will reflect the themes that I've been hearing from different pockets of our community, including obviously the center of our town. And I really just want to apply my skills, my energy, and my commitment to work together with you, and I certainly invite you, so that we can all create a community that can thrive. And obviously, we really need our downtown to thrive if we want the rest of this community to thrive. So to speak to some of the topics that were brought to our attention, a lot of them were in the report that our neighborhood association brought forward to the city several years ago, and one of them is around lighting. As everyone knows, studies are done and overdone. In this case, I'm not quite sure why we needed a study to say that we needed more lighting on the few blocks that surround the mall, mainly over in the Market Street and the Court Square area running from High Street all the way down to McGuffey. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's not the most well-lit area, and as a person who needs to go through that path to get home, I really appreciate that we really need to be working and investing resources into doing so, and I feel like we've gotten all the agreement from the city. This is just where we lacked action, and I'll be honest, the mantra of my campaign is to listen first, engage the right resources, but at the end, we all need to act. And I think that a lot of the topics that we're going to be raising tonight are things that have been out there for years, that just no action seems to be taken on and no priorities being placed. So I certainly would support for the public safety and for the just welcomingness of our mall. I think there's a safety perception about the mall, and as a person who lives downtown, it doesn't affect me, but my friends who live in the county and don't want to leave their young, or like their mid-teenagers here, or even bringing their own families here. They have this perception that there is a safety problem, and I think that's something we need to work really hard to correct. And while I don't have all the answers, I grow frustrated when I hear those perspectives, just because I just feel that sometimes a lot of the things that are would not normally be raised if it was in a more private development. We seem to hear about everything that happens on the mall, and it seems to be escalated in terms of how it gets covered. So that comes to the cameras piece. That was something that our organization did push for, and I certainly in support of. If we think about some of the more isolated instances that were traumatic, we were relying on business owners and their cameras, and those cameras aren't always reliable. They may not have all the full coverage, but yet we were going to them to try to solve crimes. And in one case, it really was obviously a crime that none of us really want to remember, but it was because of those cameras that we were able to find that. So I feel I understand the balance of people's rights to privacy, but most other areas, shopping areas that you have cameras. And I think that a year ago, Chief Longo presented a cost of approximately $70,000 for four cameras at each intersection. And I'm just trying to understand, I guess, at this point, where are we with that process? Because I think it's come down to, you know, what are the lengths of time that we're going to maintain that data? But I think that those are things that we should be able to iron out pretty quickly, and I'd like to see us implement those. The trees is actually something that came up in a recent council meeting. The Tree Commission presented, you know, they had met with a couple of stakeholders from the University of Virginia, and they raised it in an April 30th letter. And it just seems like the importance of planning for the future tree health of the groves that are within our downtown mall has to be a priority. I mean, obviously they provide shade, but they also just provide a beautiful ambiance. And it's one of those things, if we don't take care of those things now, and they will all be, and they all come to their life at once, will be depleted. So we certainly need to be looking at staggered approaches in terms of how do we make sure that we have that tree canopy covering our mall for the decades to come. one of the other ones that came up and I hadn't put a lot of thought into, but I've done some fun research on, is this 24-aisle toilet idea. And it's hard because I'm a mom who's potty trained two children while living downtown, and it is difficult when you're in a hurry to try to find somewhere you can go without having to actually go then buy Splendors, which my kids hadn't frankly earned yet. But they need to use the restroom. So yeah, this is just an example of somewhere I know I can always get a good, you know, bathroom experience. But we need to, I do think we need to be looking at ways to provide that. But obviously public safety is a concern. And was doing some research with someone yesterday around this. And it seems like a lot of cities have tried different things. But it appears that Portland Loo is a unique way of doing it. And I think that we really just, most importantly, just want to kind of get across the point. There are people who face these same constraints, but we need to be looking outside of our own boundaries and figure out where are other people really solving some of these issues. I think providing a public toilet system to our people.
And I'm just going to tell you, you're gone for 9 minutes.
Okay.
So just
sorry.
In terms of...
Okay.
No, you got another minute.
I got another minute. Okay. Minute. Okay.
But.
And so I think in general, and I'll just wrap it up, a lot of the things we're bringing up were funding for additional person to be assigned to clean the mall, plantings on the mall, additional trash cans. These things are all so important, and I think we need to think really strategically as this city is in terms of the revenue that's being generated from these downtown businesses. How can we earmark some of those dollars to go back directly to the mall and not go back towards the general fund? I think it's really important that when these are the businesses generating those revenues, that especially the cafes where they have their rental out into the open spaces, but these are the same open spaces that we want to be better maintained. I think we need to be really strategic in how we allocate those dollars back so that we can have a mall that continues to thrive and to be beautiful.
Thanks. So my name's Amy Laufer, and I have the questions as well. So I thought what I would do is first introduce myself and then talk about the issues. So I'm originally from a dairy farm in Wisconsin. I am one of eight children. I am first-generation college graduate. I have a degree in geology, and I did water chemistry for the state of Wisconsin for a couple years until I decided that was pretty boring, and I went into the Peace Corps. And I was stationed outside of Kingston, Jamaica at an elementary school thinking, why would I be here? But I fell in love with education, and I came back, and I got a master's in science education at Columbia University. And I taught in Lower Manhattan when the World Trade Center happened, and I was right next to it. And I decided, you know, geez, I'm dating a guy that's from Charlottesville that I met in the Peace Corps. Maybe I should go see what Charlottesville is all about. So I've been here pretty much ever since, for 15 years, and my husband did grow up here, and actually he really wanted to start his own business. He went to Darden as well, and he wanted to stay here because it's his hometown, and we are now part of this downtown business community, and we have three children. Our oldest is at Buford, our middle child's at Walker, and our youngest is at Greenbrier, and I've been on the school board for almost 6 years, 2 years as vice chair, and 2 years as chair. And we've raised graduation rates to nearly 90%. And that meant that we had to really set a goal and decide everything was going towards that goal. And we did a lot of things which I could go on and on about, but I'm pretty proud of that work. And while I was on the school board, I had the opportunity to do the Sorensen Institute, which is a UVA program, that's political leaders program. I traveled across the state and learned all kinds of issues that were going on around us and actually brought some of those ideas back to help actually Rich Schuyler with his I don't know if you're familiar with the GO program, but it's an employer program that the city helps people find jobs. So, and also I was able to do the Emerge Virginia program, which trains Democratic women to run for office. And through that, I met many women running for state office. And after I had been lobbying at the state office, in Richmond, for education issues, I thought I would love to see more women elected to state office. And I started a group called Virginia's List. And we support Democratic women running for state office. And we've had some successes. It's pretty exciting. But I have some experience leading and accomplishing things. My platform, kind of my interest when I started this off, was thinking about the fact that we have nearly 90% graduation rate, and we have this great feeder of Darden and UVA, lots of kids coming here and starting their businesses, and people need employees. And with this great graduation rate, I want to do something I call the Piedmont Promise, which is where we support kids going to PVCC to get their associate's degree or their certificate to grow our own workforce. And these jobs would be better than living wage. So I'm pretty passionate about that, and actually Tom Perriello has a similar initiative. And that's part of the reason that he endorsed me. And I'm also interested in affordable housing. I mean, I've been here about 15 years, and every place that we've moved from, it looks totally different than when I started here. You know, we lived off on Fifth Street Extended. We lived by Darden, and these, everything's changing. And we can see that we've grown by nearly 6,000 people in the past 6 years. And I think we need to really work purposefully to build more affordable units. And I can go on and on about that. I have lots of ideas. And also, I'm interested in the environment. Of course, I have the geology degree, hydrogeology, to be specific. And we have 5 employees in the city that work on environmental sustainability. We have lots of great initiatives, and I'd like to expand them and even think of different ones. You know, Palo Alto actually banned plastic bags. This is something I would love to do. I mean, we can't do that as a city because of Dillon's Law, but we could ban things from city anything city-sponsored, we could be in control of. And we're doing lots of solar programs. I'd just like to expand what we're doing. And I really think the federal government is not going to be doing these things. So it's going to be upon localities to work on it. But we are talking about the downtown
mall. We are.
So, I mean, I will just say this is one of the way. This is part of what makes Charlottesville so unique. I mean, when I came to visit, of course, this is one of the first places after UVA, of course, that my my husband brought me to. And everybody that visits me, I bring here as well. I mean, it is amazing. It feels like Europe. It is so unique because you look across the country, we really don't have many places like this. And it really is the economic engine, or one of them, of course, UVA. But, I mean, it's really critical what we do down here. And there were several issues that you had brought up, and I kind of parceled them out into 3 categories: safety, hygiene, and beautification. So when we look at safety, something you had talked about was expanding lighting on the, you know, side streets, which I totally agree, and I felt like we had this discussion years ago. Yes. So I think we should just go ahead and do that. When we look at the camera discussion, you know, this started in, like, 2007. Chief Longo had the idea that this was going to be a crime prevention, you know, and that it would cost $300,000. So we really had to think more about it. And then we know what happened in 2014. And instead of preventing, it was actually a way to solve a crime, as, you know, Heather has just brought up. And that's, so we know there's a spectrum of purposes for the camera. And we know that it went from $300,000 down to $73,000 at this point. And I think it's $1,200 per month for the maintenance. So the you know, in terms of the investment and money, you know, it's more reasonable. But I think the real question is still liberties. You know, people are concerned what's going to happen with that information. And when you look at, actually, when you think of all the people that are concerned about this, Rutherford Institute has been pretty vociferous. And I think what we need to do is create the policy before we would implement this. And let's bring them in. Let's create the policy with them. You know, on the school board, we have a memorandum of understanding with the police department for the student resource officers at the middle school and the high school. And we brought in legal aid to help us make that MOU. So I think we can work together with lots of groups to make it possible. I would definitely pursue something like this. I think, though, the policy is going to be the critical factor there. In terms of hygiene, I call it hygiene, trash cans and the 24-hour toilet. So with the trash cans, something that Joan had brought up was that trash collection is not done frequently enough. And I think, let's be honest, from the spring to the fall, this area is so utilized Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I would just say absolutely every morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, there needs to be pickup. And when, especially on Friday nights, we need to have a staff that's actually coming up and down the mall. You know, I lived in New York City. I absolutely hated walking by a bunch of trash, especially when it was overflowing. You know, it's really unkempt. And that, quite frankly, you get a lot of rats. I mean,
I wasn't going to bring up that issue.
Or rodents, I should say. And the 24-hour toilet, I mean, this was actually brought to us, or at least to my attention, from somebody else, actually in the audience tonight, who is an advocate for homeless. And, you know, I think this is a really good idea. I know, as Heather, I've traveled a lot, and with my kids, those 24-hour toilets really come in handy. And I think the real question is going to be, where would it be located? Who would maintain it? you know, I think those are going to be the questions that we have to answer. But I think it is something that we do need. And then in terms of the beautification, we had the trees. Actually, they did just talk about the trees. So we do have a tree commission that's largely volunteer with some staff. And I think let's give them some goals. You know, we know the canopy on the downtown mall brings business, right? Because if you're walking there and there's no trees, it would be like a parking lot. You know, and nobody wants to sit there in the beating heat. So the trees are really critical for the enjoyment of the downtown and for the businesses to thrive. So I think we need to be on it.
And you've got about 1 minute left.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the trash cans and the cigarette butt holders. I mean, of course we should do many more containers and clean it up because, you know, it's really critical. And I just want to say that I would be uniquely qualified for one position with my background in the school board. And anyway, we'll talk more about all the other issues. Thank you.
Bob, since you only introduced yourself, do you want time to address the issues?
It'll be, in a way, a rebuttal from some of the things I heard. We are looking at the trees on the downtown mall. The question is, do you replace them one by one, or do you replace them grove by grove? And they're working on that, and it's going to be something that the merchants down here will have to really be involved in, because the trees make the downtown mall. There's no question about that. The toilet on the downtown mall, I just don't like going into situations where somebody offers a suggestion and all of a sudden you say it can't be done. I say let's try it. We have toilets. We have public toilets at the city market now. One of the concerns I heard was, who's going to watch? Who's going to staff it? Are you going to hire somebody to watch it? But I think it's time that we tried it and find out if it works or not. I'm going to jump into the paid parking.
Okay.
Businesses do everything they can to cut expenses. And now we're faced with the prospect of having paid meters on the periphery of the downtown mall. Not only will that be an expense for the merchants, but it'll be an expense for the workers. It'll be an aggravation for the shoppers. So I voted against that, and I would vote against it again. I say just we'll put it off for now. We are in kind of a dicey situation nationally, economically, anyway. And in Charlottesville, we face a situation where we've had a number of condo high-rises, office high-rises, apartment high-rises, and I'm starting to hear rumblings that we may be overbuilt. And that's the ones that are in the ground now, not to count the ones that are on the draft that have already been drafted and waiting to go. So that's my concern about the health of the downtown mall, the economic health of the downtown mall. Now, I've said this many times, the people in this room should know by face and by name the crew that takes care of the mall. And I would bet there's not maybe one or two, Joan probably does, who knows the crew that takes care of the downtown mall. I live a block off the downtown mall, and I walk down here frequently. I can't recognize, I don't know who it is, and I should be able to do that. So the city, in my opinion, is sort of taking the downtown mall for granted, and it's not a default position that we have that everybody's going to come to the downtown mall. It's something we have to work on. I understand that, being in business. When somebody proposes a business investment district, that's a tax. That's an expense, and somebody's got to show me. You would have to ask for that, actually, before I would approve it, before I would support it. All right, I think it's...
Okay. Then I'm just going to give you... I think we'll open this up to questions from the audience. I just wanted to give you a couple little tidbits as to why I raised some of these issues. One was we took a walk with city staff...
Oh, I'm sorry. We took a walk with city staff down the mall. I was told the budget had been cut and that there was no money for flowers this year, and that I should have read the budget, which is why I particularly raised the issue of plantings.
Several years ago, we had an agreement with the city that those trees were going to be replaced intermittently. It started. There was a move forward. The person in charge of Parks and Recs left, and the whole project stopped. We had several different committees that looked at the fact that we needed more cigarette things. A couple went out. That was the end of it. And so a lot of these issues are continuing issues that we at DBAC, we of us who have business down here, have seen that the issue comes up, it almost gets addressed, and then it gets left hanging. And so I think that's one of the reasons that we all wanted to hear from you all. And at this point, I'm going to open it up to you. I think if we could do it without the mic and you could just ask your question loudly, just hit show of hands who has questions, and then we'll just do that. Start with you there. We'll just go from left to right the first time, right to left.
Okay,
the second.
It's going to take a few minutes to describe this.
Okay.
Everybody, all three of you have said that the city owes an obligation to the downtown mall, yet the downtown mall and the street that it has is not a park. And because it's not a park, the park and recreation department has really no obligation to maintain it like a park. When we have problems with the restrooms, marketing, lighting, it's kind of helter-skelter about who and how it's going to get resolved. Mm-hmm. And when you have a city council member that is excited about a subject, it may get attention, but if there's nobody on council that's excited about it, it doesn't get attention. Mm-hmm. Parking is an issue. I did a study for both, I'm on the DBAC board, and did a study for both Boulder and Burlington, Vermont, and they had improvement districts. But Bob, you mentioned that you'd be in favor of an improvement district if we asked for it, and yet the city just raised the taxes, the real estate property taxes downtown from 30 to 50%. How excited are owners of property to say, oh yeah, I'll step up and ask for another 5% surcharge?
So I assume you wouldn't ask for that.
Well,
BID.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Impractical. Both Boulder and Burlington have a governance board that manages and helps direct the things that you've all described as challenges kind of independently from the city government. And it's a combination of use of tax dollars, some participation of the merchants, and some participation from the property owners, which there are hundreds. So there's no one big organization like at Barracks Road. Mm-hmm. Would you be in favor of examining and really taking on the opportunity? Because a business improvement district is dead. Mm-hmm. Taxing property owners another 5 or 10%, 6%, whatever it might be, it just is not going to happen after what the city just did. Would you be in favor, or would you speak to the whole idea of a business improvement district that is primarily funded by the city, but then some of the functions of hygiene, cleanliness, who manages this, how does it get done? Right now it's like, who can we blame?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rather than an organization that is city, property owners, business owners that said we have a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
Bob?
Well, this is kind of...
Did it get turned off?
Sorry, turn it off.
Just push it. This?
Okay. Yeah, you got it.
This is going to be kind of stream of consciousness. You know, picking up trash and lighting side streets is not rocket science. It just isn't. Fixing loose bricks on the mall is not rocket science. It doesn't take a new authority to do that. That's what I said, that the city has taken the downtown mall for granted. I don't think we need a new program. We just have to make sure that the stuff they should do for the taxes we pay, and I told you I live a block off of downtown mall, so I pay them too, get done. And what the way to do that is to have the people in this room show up, frankly. The most important document in the city is the city budget. Some people might think it's a comp plan for the vision statement, but it's a city budget. If you don't have money set aside to do certain things, you really don't care about it. In the budget work sessions we had, there were two people, I think, from the public that showed up. I don't think anybody from the business community showed up. And I went to the Chamber of Commerce, and I talked to Tim Holbert, and I said, this is your opportunity. How do you feel about paid parking? How do you feel about cameras and all of that? The business community has to get involved. And I'll go back to what I said at the beginning about Violet Crown being involved in the parking situation. They turned that around just by being involved. So I am not a big fan of governing from the top down. I say do the easy things first. We are not even doing the easy things. If we did the easy things and we still needed it, then once again I would come to the business community and say, do you want to be taxed more? Or how can we avoid that?
I mean, I can see the point of not wanting to like have another group, but I do think we need a lot more structure in place. I mean, I've been on copied emails. I was sent a whole one from the recent walk that you all did in terms of what the city committed back to. And words are great. We feel that as neighborhoods too, but we need to have something in writing that people can be held accountable for. And the three pillars of my campaign, one of the biggest ones is transparency and accountability in how our city is managed so that we can take actions on the things that value most. And I just feel as a neighborhood, when we bring things forward to the city, we are told, yes, we'll take care of that, or in this timeline, or it's been prioritized, only for us to find out a year later that it never got looked at. And a year has now been lost. And I put a lot of onus on the lack of infrastructure within our city hall and the lack of technology and systems for people to actually track those things. These are very real issues, things that I have in writing that they have promised to this group of people will get done. But we have to have that kind of accountability. And if we don't start holding management accountable, they're not going to get done. And it's just certainly a pillar of my campaign that we have more of that information available to the public so that we can all see, without having to get too complicated into the budget cycle, around where these things that we're asking for fall within the priority list so that we can start focusing our energy on getting those things done. And I do think it's going to take a partnership, though, I think, for us to say that we're going to rely on the city. And that's why I think there is some value in having a group of people that can work together, not that it has to be some formal commission. But I think a lot of these things, like a lot of our issues with the county and with the university, they all take partnerships because I'd like to think we all have a common goal here. But I'll go back to the point. I think that with obviously a lot of new tax dollars generated, especially in this last year, we need to be putting pressure on our budget cycle to be focusing those dollars into these areas so that we're giving back to the businesses that were the most impacted in a positive way so that they can continue to be here.
Well, I think it comes down to setting goals and priorities, and I think that's something that may be lacking in the leadership right now. I know just for myself, to prepare myself to run for city council, I met with many staff members in the city, and I think that's something that's lacking, is having a goal, having priorities, and working towards them, you know, and that would be something I really want to do. I think that's what the missing link here. And of course, having a separate board to look into these issues, we have a lot of those, so I mean, but certainly your information, what you need, we need to know that. Of course, setting up a separate governance board, I don't know. I'd have to research that more, honestly. You know, I'm not opposed to it. I know we did a commission for school funding, and we adopted some of the recommendations out of that report, and that was largely volunteers, and it was helpful. So I'm not saying that there's a place for that, but I think we really need city government to have goals and priorities and work towards making those happen.
And I'm going to add one thing, that in my meetings with the city, we did get a point person with the city, Jason Ness, which is at least now we have somebody who, when the downtown business community is asking for something, is then going back to the city to see that some of it does happen. It's a first step, not to negate what Roy has asked, because I think it's a good question, I think it's a good idea. But we're trying to get somebody in City Hall that then comes back and says, wait, this is supposed to happen, or that we can go through to then speak to the appropriate person, just to let you know.
Is he sitting on your board?
He's on our board, and he's also in economic development, and then he is like the point person. So when I complain to somebody in City Hall or ask for something, I copy Jason, and then Jason is there knowing those people and able to follow up, which at least is a step.
Okay.
in a good direction. Other questions? Shirley.
Shirley, yes.
This is categorized as under the no question is a stupid question category. There'll be candidates sitting up there. Your opinion, which is likely to be the most impediment to completing the interchange at Hydraulic and 29? Would it be the small? Would it be the area plan, or would it be the interchange of 29 and Emmett Street? And also, two-parter there.
Well, I think we're focusing on downtown.
Who would you, if you're elected, appoint to the MPO?
I feel that's out of the purview of what we're addressing down here tonight. We're really addressing the downtown mall issues. I hate to cut you off on that,
but
what do you all think?
To business.
Right, but we're talking about the downtown business community, and that's really what
the
focus is.
Well, doesn't the prosperity or the lack thereof affect what happens downtown also? What?
Roy, what were you going to say?
Let's talk about parking.
Let's talk about parking.
The primary problem with free parking right now is not that is that it's generally not used by customers. It's used by employees. And there's the two-hour shuffle. We all know that. What exactly, not theoretically, not goal setting, what precisely are you going to recommend if you're elected to have close or walking distance parking for employees?
Thank you. I did attend when the new parking person, I don't know the title. Yes. What's his title, though? I know that's not what it is. But anyway, I did attend his first meeting, and I was the one that said, this is the problem. It's not customers, it's employees. And what I keep saying is we need a catalog of all the parking places around the downtown mall, like the churches, accessing those parking lots during the day for employees. And I think we should just have, this is the resource. Here they all are. And when, all the downtown businesses have a list of these, contact these people for your employees to park there. I also think a lot of our employees are not just driving, from Pantops. They're actually driving from, Buckingham, Fuvanna, you name it. If we had some really great satellites, especially on Pantops, because that is so congested, if we could have, I know that's not walkable, which is what you just asked for, but some of these people are driving from so far away. Having them park and ride, I think, is something we need to look into.
Except that when you work at a restaurant and leave
right.
at 2 o'clock in the morning,
yes.
that's mm-hmm. not feasible.
No, that's not, but during the day it would be. So, but what I am encouraged by is we have a new management company at the other parking lot, which will stay open longer, which is something that employees have really been asking for. So I know a lot of these, a lot of these kids are my babysitters that also work in the, restaurants, and it's a real struggle trying to find some place to park that is safe. And by the way, if we had better lighting, maybe they'd feel safer when they're parking off the mall. And I will also just turn it around and say, if we had more affordable housing, maybe some of these people would actually be living closer to the mall and be able to walk or bike, which is what we all want, right? More connectivity. So I think originally what we needed is a real list of resources that are nearby, because there are certainly lots of them. And I don't feel like we're accessing that information and sharing it properly. So there.
Do you want us all to answer?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we look at where we are in Charlottesville, we must realize, what is the goal?
Yeah. Get a little closer.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What is the goal of various types of parking? Because, again, we have the employees, we have the people who are just coming to pop in, we have people who want to spend the evening here. We can't meet the community needs of every constituency, so we must really can look at the different innovative ways we can. There are applications that are out there so if I'm pulling up as a person who wants to frequent the mall, there are apps that can help guide you in terms of where is there available parking and is it in the Water Street lot versus is it in along this street. So I think that there's some technologies in place, and I realize that's not going to satisfy the needs of every person because not everybody is on a smartphone on a 24/7 basis. But I really think that technology is a piece of it. But I will say that it also means being looking at serious discussions, as Amy was saying, about these public to private partnerships. And it may not come in the form of a large lot. In Atlanta, there was, in Pasadena, there was a way that they embraced technology, whereas I live within a few blocks of the mall. If I wanted to offer up my driveway, which has a few spots, is that a way that I can provide parking to someone on a regular basis? And it's a trade-off for like a more, you know, I'm an individual, but I also have capacity within walking distance of the mall that would keep those cars off of those regular streets for an employee, for example. And I am walking distance from the mall. So I think it's just really the out-of-the-box thinking, because the infrastructure is not going to come overnight to really support these demands. But I really also do believe that there could be it could be efficient ways in which we could do a satellite option. I'm not saying super far out, but even a few blocks away, whether it's over by Ix. But what do we do, again, to create that placemaking so that walking from a few blocks away to the mall is more of a welcoming environment for people so that they don't feel like it's a huge stretch? Obviously, the Belmont Bridge is something that people are crossing every day, and it could use, obviously, the next phase of that will make that a more welcoming experience as people park off in those directions. So I really believe it's going to take a broad approach coming from different angles, but we also have to think about the long term as technology and cars. Autonomous cars aren't that far off on the horizon, and it's something I'm certainly going to spend some time understanding the impact that'll have. And during our last Belmont Bridge Steering Committee meeting, it was raised that it's going to change the way our streets need to be designed if people are now going into a more of a drop-off model than they are actually staying there. It's like, imagine Uber now just dropping everybody off in these shared systems. And I realize that's further off, but when we're thinking about the types of money that we're spending in infrastructure, we kind of have to look at both this midterm to solve our most greatest needs, but also like, what is it way out into the future that we could find ourselves having to replace just because of the technology that's driving the changes in that type of an industry.
We're going to lose 54 free parking spots underneath Belmont Bridge. That doesn't, to me, sound like it's very good planning. I have talked to some of the churches about using their lots. Of course, they use it on Sundays, sometimes Wednesdays or Thursdays for Bible study. Most of the time, they're empty. And I would much rather see our parking czar working on that than working on paid parking meters. If there are people in this room, I believe, who remember, we used to have metered parking on the downtown mall. And the downtown mall was dying. So they took them out, and the downtown mall boomed. It wasn't just because of that, but it was a piece of the solution. So one thing I'd like somebody to explain to me, if the workers are doing the two-hour shuffle, when the parking spaces are free, when they have to feed a meter every 2 hours, what kind of shuffle are they doing then? It's the same to them. It doesn't make any difference. It's just an added expense. Autonomous cars, those cars are going to go somewhere. I mean, they're going to be parked somewhere. Where will they be parked? So it's not a really... It's not as easy as it sounds, and I would hate to see a city full of parking lots. If there's some other way we can handle this, I would much rather go that route than having a city full of parking lots. We just don't have it yet, but we do have spots now because I think the most I've circled is about four times around the block before I found a spot. And the Water Street parking lot is vacant. The only time it's ever been full is when the Dalai Lama was here and Obama was here. That's the only time. If you were to go up there tomorrow between 12 and 2, which is the lunch crowd, I guarantee you there would be no more than 12 cars on the top level of the Water Street parking garage. So we have it. We just have to utilize it better and find ways to... the churches talk about being responsible in the community. Perhaps they would give the workers a break, but it's just not as easy as you think it would be.
living on X is not related to parking, but I think our public transportation system has a lot of opportunities. And I wrote it with a neighbor a month and a half ago who invited me to do it, and it was a half an hour late, and I think I mentioned earlier. And to me, like, that's just a huge piece of this, and we need to be expanding it, and we need to be looking at it as a region and not just a city. We need to be partnering with the university and with the county to really say what is a system that can really deliver to our community, because as Amy mentioned, like, a lot of people are coming from those outskirts areas, and right now we don't even have a transportation that will go even to some of the more concentrated areas beyond our city's bounds. And I really just see that as a big opportunity area, is improving our public transit system.
The other thing I've often thought too is, so we've hired this gentleman with 20-30 years experience in the field, and I guess we've never asked him what would he do. You know, we took our study and gave it to him and asking him to implement what we've done. And while I was sitting at that meeting, I thought to myself, he has so much experience. You know, what are his ideas? You know, maybe he would have something. Anyway, sorry.
I'm going to add one comment before the next question, which is, as a downtown merchant, nobody can find the Water Street Garage.
Yeah.
So I think we, you know, when you talk about parking and tourism and customers, the signage is awful.
Yeah.
It is awful. We did a parking study. You know, we did a study years ago. We got the signs put on the mall. We at least got a sign on the Water Street Garage that said it was a parking garage. But if you pull out of the Market Street Garage because you can't park there, you have no idea how to get to that garage. So I would put that to all of you as something to think about. And Dave, maybe you even want to think about advocating for that, because customers can't find it. So, yeah, they're going to shuffle to try to find a spot, because even if there are spots there, they can't find it. Another question about downtown mall and businesses down here.
Yes, sir.
Given that the Main Street Arena has been sold, and that there's talk about developing a 21st century office space, one of the organizations I understand that was involved in arranging the sale or advocate or consulting the purchase is a group called SPACE, which advocates for a public-private partnership of a tech industry office space there. So what I'm asking is, would you support public investment if the developer there asked for the city to chip in either building this office space or attracting tenants?
I don't think that's going to happen. Just as a Susan, can
will it happen? I think they moved on.
Okay.
Just to. I appreciate the question, and if you still want to answer it, you can.
Yeah, let me just say something about public-private partnerships. You should just say taxpayer money and private partnerships, because it's your money that's going to be used there. We did have a major public-private development in the downtown mall. It's on the west end of the mall, and it's called the Omni. That worked out so well, the city had to write off $10 million of bonds. And that was a loss to the taxpayers. And there's any number of other economic development projects where public-private doesn't work out. If you think about it for a minute, the developers are going to ask for everything they want. They're going to minimize their risk if they can do it. And that's minimizing the risk for whatever development you have. Now, I wouldn't write it off, but I just remember history and what's happened in our city before on this.
Yeah, I mean, I never heard of this, and everything that I understand is not going to happen.
Right, so that's why it's saying if you don't want to.
But if it does happen, if, you know, theoretically, if it's.
Do you want to make it as a theoretical for another property or something like that?
It matters, though, because this project, I think, it's
well,
unique to this project.
Space, their website says, you know, they're trying to create a public-private partnership to build.
Yeah, and I think Susan knows, so she's saying it's not happening.
Fair enough.
I think you just have to structure the deal appropriately, you know. So,
so we are out of the time that we said we had, but we can stay longer. Do you all want to stay a little bit longer?
Then so comfortable in here.
Okay, then why don't we take two more questions?
I have a comment about the parking. I haven't really thought this through, but I live a couple blocks from the downtown and Permit area, and we have spaces all during the day, but at night it's flooded, which seems to be opposite of what it should be, because it should be available for the residents at night who come back from work. So I don't know if there's, how you're talking about other options. I'm thinking through that, but that was just a comment. And I would like all of your opinion about the Landmark Hotel. I don't think we can leave here without that.
So you're saying that your permit is for daytime protection, and you really don't need it then?
Well,
or it's less of an issue then.
It's odd that it's really not used. People in my areas appear to leave
during the day. I've heard that's over in Belmont as well.
Right, but at night or on the weekends for the market, we can't get away.
Right, I agree. And I think that's what we need to broadly be understanding, that really the supply and the demand by street level in terms of what are those hours of peak for different groups, because I think that you would, and I've heard this in Belmont also, which I'd rather give up my front of my house spot now, but when all the restaurants are booming in downtown Belmont, I have nowhere to go. And in their case, they don't actually have the permitted spacing, but I certainly hear that, and I think it's something that we should be challenging the parking czar or others to really be looking at holistically. Agreed. The Landmark. Well, it's been up there like that longer than my oldest child has been alive. And at one point, it was a safety concern for all of us. I mean, I didn't want my children walking near it. But as much as I, having experienced Mr. DuBerry in a city council meeting, and wouldn't say he'd be my favorite developer I wish to partner with, we are where we are. And I understand the frustrations of the money that has been allocated. But it's not only allocated, it's basically a portion of the revenue generation. And right now, it's not generating any revenue as it is. And I think that the biggest priority for this city is for that to get built. And even if it gets built and he goes bankrupt and then he sells it to someone else, at least it's done. And it can then be something that's going to be fruitful for the downtown area. And so I feel like, unfortunately, our hands have been somewhat tied. I don't understand all the ins and outs of the legal issues, but it seems to me that Virginia is a pretty forgiving state when it comes to how long structures like this can sit around in this condition. But it's certainly frustrating, and I think that the timelines need to be strictly enforced in this last offering. And if those cannot be met, we need to move forward in a different direction.
Well, the question immediately arises, what direction do we move forward to? Virginia has a Dillon Rule. There could be no completion bond on a structure like that. You can get a completion bond on a sidewalk, but you can't get it on a building like that. So I want to see that thing succeed. DuBerry is a gambler. These developers sometimes gamble, all the time gamble. I want to see it succeed. The economic deal that he has is very similar to what we gave to CFA, Certified Financial Analyst, or Waterhouse, probably Willow Tree. We want businesses in town. We're in competition, not just with Richmond and the Valley or Northern Virginia. We're in competition for all of these things. It's there. My background is engineering and construction. I'm very concerned with that reinforced concrete structure being uncovered and open to the elements, particularly the freeze-thaw, for I think almost 8 years now, 7 years. So
it's supposed to have been completed in 2009.
And my concern was, and I asked him this at the council meeting, I said, do you have a structural engineer certification that building is safe? And he said, yes. So that was it for that. But if this thing goes forward, he's also going to have to get one from whoever insures that building is going to have an impartial inspection made. So I wish him the best of luck. It's just a tough, tough problem. It would be great for the city and for the downtown mall if that were finished. So I hope it does. His permits, I think, run through September. If he doesn't start before September, he's got to start the process all over again, and that would be problematic.
Amy, sure. Well, I mean, of course, I feel the same way. I remember when it was brought before council, and we were all, I have to say, I was excited. I mean, it was such a great opportunity. But I think the devil is in the details, right? It's like, so we were all excited that this guy was going to dump $30 million or something into a downtown mall. But we didn't really do checks and balances. It's like, that's just when the economy is starting to tank. You know, and I really feel like, you know, we need to be more understanding of what it takes to do something like that, you know, to build something that big and put appropriate carrots and sticks in, you know, in place for something to, when they're going to build this. So, I mean, I think what the city council just did, you know, as deplorable as we all feel about it, we really want it to be built. And because it looks dilapidated, it looks terrible, it looks like a safety hazard. I can't imagine it's not. And, you know, I really hope he's able to, you know, salvage whatever's left and create something that we can all be proud of. You know, it will be a great, something great in the downtown mall if it can be done. So, you know.
One last question, and then we'll let everybody wrap it. Yeah, John.
Sort of a comment and question all wrapped up into one. Bob, you had said earlier that people didn't get involved with the budget, that they didn't get involved with a lot of the aspects of the planning in the downtown mall. Roy, Joan, myself, Susan, we worked for years on trying to establish the bid. We brought it. We volunteered our time, our energies. We brought it to City Council. We were turned down. We brought it. We went back at it again. It was turned down by City Council. The purpose of that was to actually create an organization that would do many of these things we're talking about. When we're talking about parking meters and the possibility of parking meters, there's funding that will be generated by those parking meters. Certainly there's an expense to create the parking meters. Would you, A, dedicate that additional profit to the organization that, that Roy brought up? The cafes in the downtown mall generate profit for the city. They're the benefit to the city and to the restaurant. I mean, obviously the restaurants benefit from that, but through sales tax, meals tax, and that money goes into the general fund.
You want to answer first?
It doesn't go into an organization like what Roy has brought up. We have the vendors on the downtown mall who take advantage of the businesses that are established on the downtown mall. They come down there weekly. Because we bring customers there, we advertise, we promote the downtown mall in our own personal way. Like Heather said, we're the ones the police come to for the cameras when there's a situation that happens on the mall. And yet the city, you, I'm not saying you personally, but you are the representative of the city. When you said earlier, they don't listen, I don't know who they are, because we do come to you, and you said that we don't get involved. Well, we have been involved. I've been on at least four parking committees over the last 30 years that accomplished absolutely nothing. None of the recommendations that came out of those meetings were ever put into place. And, you know, the reason we don't come to these meetings is because it doesn't seem like anybody listens. And I've stood before City Council on numerous occasions. Lighting, pedestrian level lighting, the need for that, undergrounding utilities. And I guess my ultimate question would be is, where does Amy, not picking on you, but you said that you want to do the funding for college education. That's going to take funding. Where in the on your list of priorities is the downtown mall in the business community? Because we can do business anywhere. And I do have stores outside of the city of Charlottesville as well as in other areas. We're only here because it's either profitable for us. We don't own I own some property in the downtown mall. But if it's no longer profitable for us to be down here, we're going to go to one of the shopping centers that's being created. History extended. Shopping centers are being built all around us. We don't have to be downtown. And City Council, when you're undergrounding utilities up on West Main Street, but you're not doing it downtown. We've been begging for that for the last 40 years. And so it's frustrating when I hear that we have to come down and yell at City Council to get some sort of action taken when, in fact, we've been down there on numerous occasions.
Now, John, you started out by talking about the bid. The council turned that down because the business owners and the merchants hammered them. That's what happened. Now, John, we're going to have to agree to disagree. It was like 90% did not want it.
90%, Susan, would you agree with that? 90% didn't want it?
I think there's a difference because the real estate is owned by a few people.
Right.
I
mean, okay, but what I'm saying is
rent to the shops.
Yeah.
So I would say that's incorrect.
Okay.
I would say the majority of the people were in favor of the bid back 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I would disagree with that respectfully.
Well, I would just.
Yeah. And I was right. And I was right in the middle of it too.
No,
so.
He's talking about the original one.
The original bit.
Yeah, not just recently.
Not recently.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Recently, no, about 2 years ago.
And right now, the climate is not going to happen.
Right.
Right.
Because you raised taxes.
Because you raised taxes.
So
not, you know, yeah. That's the issue. But to John's question.
So, but it was about the bid, and I think it was about the council. Now look. The council does not have much experience in business. I'll tell you that. I think I have the most experience of any one of them, and I have one vote. So I do my best to try to educate them, but that's life. I mean, you bring something forward, and if you have a strong case, you probably have more pull with them than I do. So it would probably work. Money going to West Main Street? Well, you're right, John. I mean, that's the council. The council favors West Main Street right now. The council will put $10 million into West Main Street, I think, in the next fiscal year. City has plenty of money. The most recent budget that finished had a $6 million surplus. The one prior to that had a $4 million surplus. I fought hard not to have the meals tax increase. At that point, it said it was going to raise $2 million. It did about that. But then we had that $4 million surplus. They don't need to be raising taxes. And that's why I say the business community has to be involved in this. I know it's frustrating. It's very frustrating for those of us who are in business and try to keep our expenses down, to have somebody say, what's a penny? What's a penny on a tax rate? And then I say, well, if that's the case, why don't you take a penny off the tax rate? And you'd think I'd said something very terrible. So it's educating the council. The council, that's where the buck stops. And if Jason Ness is getting all these missives, all these directions, I don't know where they're going because I don't see him at council. And I've been in many of your neighborhood meetings, and I've asked them, give me something to do. And that was the last meeting I was at, and if you remember that, that's what I said. So it's a partnership, and we just have to remember that it is not easy.
But it's also a partnership among council members. I mean, you need to be working with your other council members on issues that are coming to you, and collaborating with them to get those messages across. It can't always be back on the citizens to consistently be bringing these things every time when they have communicated, articulated to you or to other individual members. And I think it's just, that's something I feel like we have been lacking, is the collaboration on council to really share in the vision of what's really going to be some of the best initiatives we need to take forth for our, in this case, our downtown to prosper. And as I mentioned earlier, I am certainly committed to us looking at ways to earmark some of these dollars that are being generated from revenue coming from the mall or taxes from specifically the mall, back, reinvesting back into that. As I mentioned, like in my professional life, when we found cost savings, that's exactly what we did. We reinvested those savings back into those businesses so they could be even stronger. And that's exactly what we have here in terms of the downtown mall. And I think that we certainly need to have a structure in place. And I can't say it enough, we need accountability. And I mean, that's probably going to have to come in some form of a policy. But right now, no one's taking ownership of having that vision, and someone needs to, and I'm certainly one that's committed to doing so, and I hope I can partner with others on council, and I think I can to do that.
I would echo that as well. I think something that Bob mentioned was that he was trying to educate, but I really think, I mean, I've worked with, you know, there's 7 people on the school board, and really explaining why this is important and lobbying your idea is critical, and I feel that is something that's really missing on city council right now. And I feel like part of, you know, you mentioned the commission too, or I guess you mentioned the meals tax. You know, that was like the whole idea there was that the school's budget was going to receive that money. And by the way, we didn't. So it went right back into the general budget. You know, I really think holding people accountable, yes, but the city council has to work better together and they have to have priorities and goals, and every decision that they make is, you know, based on making that goal and that priority occur. That's how I feel. I really do feel like City Council could be working better together. And I know you guys are involved. I remember seeing the bid district, you know, 2 years ago, and I thought to myself, well, shouldn't that be what the city government's doing? I mean, shouldn't they be improving the mall? Why do these people have to put their own money in to, you know, fix the lights and fix the trash. I mean, that's what city government does. That's what taxpayer money typically does. So I think that's how I feel about it. I don't think we should be setting up some district that you have to pay more money into. And certainly after what we just saw in terms of the taxes, I mean, that was incredible. We really should have lowered the rate. That's how I feel on the commercial real estate.
So I'm not going to call you because the movie theater, they have to show a movie tonight. So she's starving too. What I'm going to do is thank you all for coming. There is a list that was circulated if that can go back to me. Do you all want 1 minute to the end, or do you feel like we've done it?
I could just say a little something.
All right, we'll give them each 1 minute. They get 1 minute, that's it, and then we're going to call it quits. But thank you all for coming.
I just want to say, you know, there's 2 seats available. I've been doing budget and policy work for almost 6 years. I feel like I have the skill set to be collaborative, to work together. I've learned a lot on school board. Homework, do your homework, work together. And it's really not about me or anyone else on the dais. It's really about getting things done and making things better for our community. So anyway, June 13th is the primary, and I hope you can vote for me. Thank you.
And on council, I just really want to be the voice for our community, and I don't feel there's any one thing I could do on my own, but it's really engaging. There's so many talented resources, many of which are in this room, and then many of which I've been at their door, that I just really want to engage them in the process, because I feel like council's success is really by having those voices be heard, and I want to be a conduit for those voices, and again, work in collaboration with other council members so that we can be best addressing the priority needs of our community. I really want to harness, I have this process view that I bring to the table as a systems engineer. Nothing happens in isolation. It's all part of some more complex system. And I really want to, again, reach out to the experts. We obviously have a rich group of folks at the University of Virginia and all the exciting energy that's coming out of there, and they want to stay here in Charlottesville. And I just think that we also need to be outward looking. Some of these issues that we're talking about tonight, other municipalities are also dealing with. And so this is not the first time people are doing it, so why do we need to reinvent the wheel? I think it's just really important to really be outward looking and seeing what is being successfully done in other places that have similar circumstances, such as downtown malls, and maintaining those malls, and how are they working through it with our municipalities. So I'll end with, you know, I'm a wife, I am a mother, I am a neighborhood leader, I am an engineer and a business person, and I really feel like that broad collection of my life experience is going to help me to understand your perspective and to work together to solve our most complex issues. Again, you can vote for 2 people on December 13th in the Democratic primary, and I hope that I'll have earned your vote. Thank you.
All right, I have 1 minute. Can you ask your question in 30 seconds?
Yeah. Basically, thank you for hosting this.
Yeah.
My question is, all three of you, how are you going to handle the homeless in the moment? Since we all agree, it's a nice engine, generates revenue, tourism, and so forth. But the homeless situation is out of control.
Excuse me, they're panhandlers. They're not homeless. So I conflate the two issues.
All right, well, that's part. Okay, let me get...
Now, before you go, Bob, I want to ask, I mean, are there any laws on the books that could be challenging individuals who are hanging out and doing whatever in the mall?
Well, you're sitting right behind a man who's probably going to give you a card, Jeff Bogle. He can school you on that situation. But look, we have a new police chief. He's got a new regime there. He's been in about a year. And he's looking at a whole lot of things. So it will be different than when Tim Longo was here. And I don't want to jump the gun on what he's going to do and what he has already started to do.
But my civil liberties, when you have a clapper clapping for 8 hours and intimidating my children or my grandchildren or my friends, that's pretty sad. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, he gave me a death threat. I asked him, how can I help you? And it deteriorated from there.
Provides
well, look, I know, I understand, but look, I understand that. We have one of the best cities, I think, in the country. People come here. They want to come here. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater either. We will work our way through this as we have worked our way through every other thing we've faced. Let me leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap it up. Do you want to make a comment or you want to...
But so,
I
want to
hear
specific.
No, I know, but
well,
the issue
just,
was
ordinances. I mean,
yeah.
Like if I was a restaurant owner, I would be so upset that these individuals could cross my my business to go downhill.
No, and I have a friend who has a Pilates studio, and people are rapping on her window while they're trying to have a moment of calm. But is this? But it, I mean, I did read about kind of where we left off on this in terms of pursuing an ordinance, and that there are just only so many things within our scope, and also just the freedom of speech. And there's just a lot of protections there that are really beyond the purview of this council. I think there's things we can do to try to help those situations. And obviously, if anyone crosses the line and it becomes offensive, and I've certainly heard the type of language around my young children, and it's not something I certainly want to condone. But unfortunately, from what I understand, there's just a lot of limitations to what we can do.
But it goes to the core of what you said earlier.
I hate to shut this off, but I have to give them the theater, and I'm sorry because I wish you'd asked earlier. And I think we could have discussion outside while the theater is getting, while people are coming in. But thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
Yeah.